Yud Beis Kislev, Tuesday the 20th of November, Rabbi Eli Pick, Events Foretold. I knew you'd be here. Events Foretold. Let's see.
I'm afraid I might disappoint some people here because the title suggests that I'm going to tell you what's going to happen in the future, and you might be coming here to expect next week's National Lottery results. Unfortunately, you will be disappointed. Oh dear, I do see somebody walking out now. But we do find amongst Gedolim who have told things which might not have even been listened to immediately, where they were predicting the future. And it may well be happening nowadays as well. People come along with stories of Hasidus Sherebbe saying certain things, but I'm only going to speak about things which are well authenticated and written about. So I'm going to start with this week's parsha. In this week's sedra, Yaakov Avinu is trembling with fear because he's going to meet Esav. And he's worried that he's got 400 people who are essentially an army and they're going to attack him. So what does he do? He says to his family, "Im yavo Esav, if Esav comes, ve'ko achas, im yavo Esav el hamachane achas, he comes to the camp, ve'ko, and he smites it, vo'yo hamachane nisho lifleito, then the other camp, which is to the other side, will be able to escape." That's the strategy. This pasuk was used by the Chofetz Chaim back in 1930, to foresee what was going to happen in the tragedies of Europe. We've just had the 100th anniversary of the end of the First World War and the 80th anniversary of Kristallnacht. And at the end of the First World War, when they were talking about liberty and democracy, the Chofetz Chaim said, "What you've seen so far is nothing compared to what's going to happen." Millions died in the First World War, but he was saying, what's going to happen very soon. And he said in 1930, he said, in 10 years' time, there will be such a big tragedy, not only us men, namely soldiers, but women and children are going to be massacred. He said, the preface to the next war, which will be more dreadful than anything we've seen till now. And a dreadful event is approaching. And with Rav Chanan Wasserman, he was talking in 1931, he said, there is a mortal danger, and he was crying in the presence of Rav Chanan. In 1933, a Rosh Yeshiva asked the Chofetz Chaim, "What's going to happen? Are the Yidden going to be destroyed?" And he quoted this posuk, "Im yavo Esav el hamachaneh achas ve'ko vo'ya hamachaneh nisho lifleito." There will be those who manage to escape, and the Yidden will manage to carry on, despite the tragedies which are now coming. So this Rosh Yeshiva asked him, "Where will they escape to?" And he quoted the posuk in Ovadia, Perek Aleph, posuk Yudzai, Uvahar Tzion Yeh Peleto. The same word, Peleto, which is used in Vayishlach, is used in Ovadia, that Peleto will carry on at Har Tzion Vayor Kodesh, and it will be holy. That was the Chofetz Chaim, such a gadlus he had. I also heard, though I haven't found the source for it, that the Chofetz Chaim said that when the Russian Revolution took place in 1917, he predicted that this kind of Malchus will only survive for 70 years. The Berlin Wall came down in 1989, which was 72 years later. Such was the gadlus of the Chofetz Chaim, not just somebody who was well immersed in halacha and wrote many sforim, but he had a kind of nevuah. And it's interesting, because if you look in the Malbim, in Tehillim, Perek Yotes, that's the one which starts with Hashemayim, Masachim, Kavod Kel, the Malbim writes there, "Va'al yedei ha-Torah Nesigu b'derech hanavuah." If you come so steeped in Torah, then you will achieve a madrega of nevuah, of prophecy. V'hofar elokis, and you will receive divine inspiration. An amazing piece. That is the Chofetz Chaim. So if we just explore some other bits and pieces to see predictions.
Is one allowed to ask then, why was the Chofetz Chaim not telling everybody to go to Eretz Yisrael?
I asked this question, and I was told that he did. He was telling people around him to go to Eretz Yisrael. Yes. And in fact, he wanted to go himself, but his daughter became ill, and so he was held back. But he had plans to go, and he was telling his Talmidim that they should go. Some years ago, Rav David Cooper Zatzal told me of a Maharal. The Maharal is in Gevuras Hashem, in Perek Yud Ches. It's also alluded to in the Sefer Netzach Yisrael, Perek Chaf Ches. And he talks about Moshe Rabbeinu being brought up the Platin Shel Paro. Moshe Rabbeinu is found by Paro's daughter, sailing on the water in a little cradle, and she saves him and brings him home to the palace and brings him up in the palace. And the Maharal says that is a crucial concept for the Geula of Klal Yisrael, that the enemy is actually looking after the saviour of the Yidden. As we say in the Haggadah, B'chol dor v'dor amdim olenu l'chal oseinu. They want to wipe us out. V'HaKadosh Baruch Hu matzileinu mi'odom. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu saves us from their hands. But what's shut from their hands? As a result of their hands. As a result of what the enemy is doing, like Haman building gallows for Mordechai, he himself gets killed on those gallows. So as a result of the activities of the Rosha, then the Yidden are saved. What does that mean? He says, Moshe Rabbeinu could have been saved in many different ways, but he was dafka saved as a result of being brought up in Paro's palace to be able to be a savior of the Yidden. Vatavoi labas Paro. Sheniskadu Moshe Rabbeinu lo vashalom beveis Paro is because he could have been saved any other way, but this was a special way. Why? Vadova zeh muflo me'od. This is something really amazing, he says. Because the reason why he was brought up in the palace of Paro is because before the Geula comes, the Kedusha is resting inside something else. Something which is without Kedusha. Something which is secular. Just like he says there is a fruit inside its shell, and when it's not yet ripe, it stays inside the shell. But as it ripens, then the shell eventually falls away. So he brings a posuk in Yecheskel, Perek Kaf Ches, Yud Ches, Ve'otzi Eish Mitochacho, and I'll bring out the fire from within you. And he says, the Eish here, the fire, is Kedusha. And the time will come before Mashiach, in Eretz Yisrael, that there will be a Malchus. And in future there will be a Malchus HaMashiach. And how will this Malchus come about? Shetischadish Malchus Chadoshi Yotzeis Mimalchus HaRishon Malifneze. It will come about from another Malchus before it. V'zeh ki Malchus Yisrael HaGadosh HaShesh Lo Medrege Elokis Penimis. That holy Malchus which comes about at the time of Mashiach, Hitzomeches, it will grow mitoch Malchus Bilti Kedusha, from another Malchus which has no Kedusha. But inside that secular Malchus, there will be a Kedusha, and that Kedusha will grow, and that Kedusha will lead to the Malchus HaMashiach. And that is the remez from the Pasuk, the Otzi'esh Mitochacho. I mean, how he gets it from this Pasuk is incredible. That I will bring out the fire from within you. And from this, the Maharal is predicting what would later happen after the tragedy of the Second World War, that the Yidden will be settling in Eretz Yisrael, and that they will have Malchus, but that Malchus will not have Kedusha, but that Kedusha will grow. A most amazing piece of Maharal. He brings this also in other things. He says the Mashiach will be brought up in a country which is hostile to the Yidden, that they will be looking after him, that they will be nurturing him. Because that is the part of divine plan. That is the way Hashem organizes things. That the wicked are actually doing things which bring about their own downfall. A similar idea is brought in the Malbim at the end of Yeshaya. In chapter Samach Vov, the end of Yeshaya, we read it as a Haftarah on Shabbos Rosh Chodesh. There, the Pasuk talks, you might think, in riddles. It says there, Shimu Devar Hashem HaCharidim El Devaro. Listen, those who are Charidim. Rashi writes, Charidim is defined as those who are rushing to hear the word of Hashem. Omru Achichem Sonichem Manadichem. Your brothers, who hate you, who put you into Nidui. So your brothers, they must be Yidden as well. So you've got Charedim, who are on one side, and you've got other people who say, Salichem and Adichem, they hate you. Leman Shemi Ichbad Hashem. Hashem is great because of us, not because of you, but because of us. When you are happy, they are ashamed. Whatever that means, I will leave that for you to work out. But the main thing is, the labor pains will come after the child has been given birth. So the child is born, and then the labor pains start. So the Pasuk says, Misha Makazos, who has heard of such a thing? Mira Okeela, who has ever seen such a thing? Hayuchal Eretz B'yom Echod, can a country be born in one day? Emivole go Pamachoski Chologam Yodo Tzion Es Boneho. Hani Ashbir V'lo Olid, etc. It's worth looking at. And then it says, Simchu Es Yushalayim V'gilubo Koloi Aveho. Rejoice Yushalayim. Be glad with her, those who love her. Sisu Etomisos. Says the Malbim on these very psukim. There will be another birth. There will be a small birth before the main birth, as it were. Before the Geula Shalema, there will be a birth. Because most people will not really be there yet. That there will be a limited number at first who fix their abode in Eretz Yisrael. So that the Yidden will be living in Eretz Yisrael before the Mashiach. Hence the Pasuk is talking about the child being born, and then afterwards come the labor pains. How the Malbim could think of this, he predicted it. And it's happened. And it's happening now. So we've seen it from the Malbim. We also have seen it from the Maharal. Listen to the words of the Emes Liakov. The Emes Liakov is a very small sefer which was written by a godel known as the Nasivus. He was Rav Yaakov of Lisa. He was the Rav of the town of Lisa. He wrote many Sforim, popularly known as the Nasivus because of Chayshim Mishpat. He also wrote Mekar Chaim, Chavos Das, and many other Sforim. And a very small sefer he wrote on the Agadah of Shaf. And in Perek, in Baba Basra, in Daf Ayin Gimel Amud Beis, there are the famous allegorical stories of Rabba Bar Chana. There are about 15 stories about Rabba Bar Chana, which speak in rather strange terms. And one of those stories he captivates. And this is what he writes. He quotes the Gemara, Omar Rabba Bar Chana, Zimno Chado Havi Oslinon Besfinto. Once upon a time we were going along on a ship. We were having an outing, a teal, Bechazinon Hai Kivro, and we saw this very big fish. The Yasvale Chalso, and there was sand covering it. The Kadcho Agmo Eluyav, there was grass growing on it. So above the sand, there was this grass. The Sovrino Nyabashtohi, we thought that this was dry land. Oh, look, this is an island, because the fish was keeping very still. We didn't realize it was such a big fish. We thought it was an island. And there was sand over it, and there was grass growing on it. So what did we do? We got off the boat and we thought, let's have a picnic. The Solkinon, so we got off the boat, Varfinon, and we started baking, Uvashlinon, and we were cooking, the Katcham Gabe. But the heat from the cooking was getting a bit too much for this fish. So what did the fish do? Ishapich. It turned itself round to try and stop this heat from harming it. If we wouldn't have had our ship nearby, we would have drowned. What does that mean, he says? In the godless of his words, listen to this. V'nira lefaresh. And this is what it means. Sheroa beruach hakodesh. He saw ahead. With ruach hakodesh, with divine inspiration, sheyekodem bi'as ha-mashiach. That before the Mashiach comes, Shiadbiya Yisrael Shetachas Memsholoso, that Yisrael will have their own Memsholo, that they will be there in Eretz Yisrael Al She'er Umos, and that they will not only be governing themselves, but they will be governing other people as well. V'Umos V'Chuvonim Al Shein Kivro. What do we learn out? The fish, he says, is the Umos. It's the other people. How he knows? I don't know. And what does it mean by sand? Sand is something low. Something sad is something which is on the ground. So he talks about Hachnor. And Shehutash Kocho Shel Umazu. These people were weak. The other people who we were governing. They were not able really to fight us. Shehutash Kocho Shel Umazu. Sand, it's like we had in last week's Sedra. Boyo Zaracho Kafao Oretz. So there's a bracha which is given by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Yaakov Avinu that his forthcoming generations will be like the sand of the seashore, but sand is something low. And the Mephoshim say there, Yaakov Avinu was in trouble, so it talks about the sand. Whereas Avram Avinu, Hashem talked about the Kochve HaShomayim, that your future generations will be like the stars of the heaven. The sand is something which is low down. The kidach agmolo, what's the grass? Agmu loshen hachnor v'shiflus. It's also something which is low down. K'mavua ba'orch, meloshen melochuf ka'agmon rosho. He learns it out from this posuk, then it means something which is low down, and that this people whom we are governing, who are not one of us, they started rebelling against us. Sovrinon yabashto, namely, they even thought that their hope was dried up, but when this cooking started, v'afinon v'ashlinon, the heat of that cooking aroused them. Hainu, Sherotze Yisrael Agbias Mamaleyem, because the Yidden were ruling over them. Velim Shol Aleyem. They were governing them. So they rebelled. Vekad Cham Gabeis Hapuch. So as a result, that heat from the cooking, from the picnic, was annoying these people. Kolom Anevchu V'Nischazku Aleyem. They said, let's go and rebel up against the Jewish people. And what does it mean if our ship nearby would have not been nearby, we would have drowned? He says, this will be close to Geula, that they will try and fight back against the Jewish people. If it would not have been for the fact that it was close to the time of the Geula and the time of the Mashiach, we would have drowned. That's the Nesivos. An amazing piece.
How long ago did he write?
The Nesivos wrote 200 years ago. He died in 1832. I think that's what it was, or maybe 1830. But certainly born about 70 or 80 years beforehand. I don't have the exact date. But, remarkable. So the Maharal, 400 years ago. Malbim, 200 years ago. Nesivos, 200 years ago. It was a very different world then. So, we have here a glimpse of the gadlus of some of these Gedolei Yisrael who were writing as Mefroshim, and what they were saying then is happening now, or has been happening in recent years. It's amazing. But even if you have a Rav who is a Posek, he doesn't have Nevuah. Every Rav is gifted with a Siyata Dishmaya. He gets a special gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be able to determine on his Pesach. How do we know? The story in Gemara in Ksuvos, Daf Samach, on the base, where Abayo made a Pesach that a Yoledes, who was a widow, she should wait 15 months before she gives birth again, before she marries again. And the other Rabbonim there in the Gemara say 24 months. So Abayo afterwards admits that what he said was not correct. And the reason why he was not correct was because he made his psak in front of his Rebbe, and you mustn't give a psak in front of your Rebbe. But he said, that wasn't the only reason why I failed in my psak. Because I was giving a psak in front of my Rebbe, I was not getting the Siyata Dishmaya, the special gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be able to give a psak din. And that's why I faltered. And the story is told about the Novi Yehuda, Rabbi Cheska Landau, who was being appointed as Rav of Prague, and he was a relatively young age, I think he was 46, and there were others who were saying he's not old enough, and they wanted other candidates, and there were a group of people who tried to stop him being appointed as the Rav of Prague. So they decided to ask him a trick question. It was something to do with the kashrus of a chicken, I'm told, but they did it in such a way that he would end up giving the wrong answer. And they asked him this question, and he thought for a moment, and he remained silent. So his Talmidim asked him, surely you know the answer to this psak. He said, yes, but I wasn't connecting. I wasn't getting the Siyata Dishmaya. It's as if you're dialing a telephone number and you're not getting an answer. He said, whenever I have to give a psak, I get a siyata dishmaya and I can give the answer. But on this one, I wasn't getting the siyata dishmaya, so I remained silent. Because it wasn't really a shaila. And I heard that it happened once with Rav Knoblovitz, Zecher Tzadik Levrocha, who used to be the Rav of the Hendon Adas in the 1950s and 1960s. Somebody once came to him with a shaila after he retired. He answered, look, I'm no longer the Rav of this Kehillah. I therefore should not be answering your question. So the person said, come on, is it such a complicated question? He said, it's an easy question. I could answer it in my sleep at 2 o'clock in the morning. But I'm not going to give you the answer because I'm no longer the Rav of this Kehillah. And since I'm no longer the Rav of this Kehillah, I no longer have the Siyata Dishmaya. I no longer have that special divine inspiration which a Rav gets when he is running a Kehillah. So, what does this mean in practice? What is our bottom line on this? The Gemara in Sanhedrin, well, there's a Mishnah in Daf Tzadi, talks about Kol Yisrael Yesh Lem Chelek Le'olam Habo. Every Yid has a portion in the world to come, Ve'eli She'ein Lahem. But unfortunately, there are some who don't get a Chelek in Le'olam Habo, but it's because of their own doing. Who are they? Ha'omer Ein Tchias HaMesim in HaTorah, a person who denies Tchias HaMesim. Ve'en Torah Min HaShemayim, somebody who says that Torah is not from Shemayim. And then thirdly, Ve'abikoros. So there, the Mishnah doesn't define what an Abikoros is. Because it says before Abikoros, somebody who says Torah is not Min HaShemayim. So it must be somebody else, besides somebody who says Torah is not Min HaShemayim. We usually think of an Abikoros as somebody who says that Torah is not Min HaShemayim. But there's somebody else called an Abikoros. So if you look ahead in the Gemara on Daf Tzadi Tes, Omud Beis, there it says, what is an Abikoros? Rav Chanina Omri, Ze Hamavaze Talmud Chochom. A person who insults a Talmud Chochom. Who mocks the Talmud Chacham. And this halacha is brought down in the Rambam in Perek Vav Hilchos Talmud Torah Halacha Yud Aleph, and it's also brought down in the Shulchan Aruch in Yerodeah Siman Reish Mem Gimel Sif Vav Oven Godol Hu Levazos Talmidei Chachomim. It is a great aveira to be mevaze Talmidei Chachomim, or lisnos son, or to hate them. V'chol ha-mevaze es ha-chachomim ein lechelek le'olam habo. A person who is Mavazeh Talmidei Chachomim has no portion in the world to come. And this Siyata Dishmaya, which is so significant, that the Rav is the one who is personifying Talmud Torah and the divine inspiration. In the Geisha world, there is this science called jurisprudence. Jurisprudence is the concept behind the legal systems. And jurisprudence. And the modern theory of jurisprudence is that the best legal system is not simply one where you have a written constitution and you go exactly according to what's written and nothing else. And it's not going according to what oral teachings there may be, but it's a combination. It's a combination of both. And we have both the Torah Shebiksav and the Torah Shebal Peh. The Torah Shebiksav, which is something which is unchangeable, but we've also got the Torah Shebal Peh. Who personifies the Torah Shebal Peh? Chazal. And Rav Hirsch writes that the Torah Shebiksav, the written Torah, one can't really understand properly unless you have the oral law, the Torah Shebal Peh. It's like the notes of a lecture. So you go into a lecture, you make your notes, but if somebody else reads your notes, they don't really understand them. You understand them because you were in the lecture. So Rav Hirsch says that the Torah Shebal Peh are the notes of the lecture. Such was the greatness of Chazal that they play this part in the everyday running of the Torah, that it's up to date in the modern sense, not in the Abikoshis sense, but in the interpretation sense. That there's always something in the Torah which can explain how to answer a modern Shaila. And that Koach is the divine inspiration. And if it's not a Shaila, then there's no Siyata Dishmaya. There's a story told that the Lubavitcher Rebbe once met the previous Sadigera Rebbe, and they were talking about the three oaths which the Samach Hasidim talk about in their defense of opposing what's going on nowadays in Eretz Yisrael. And the Lubavitcher Rebbe said to the Sadigera Rebbe, If somebody comes to us and asks us a Shiloh about the three oaths, it's not really a Shiloh anymore. Because the people are in Eretz Yisrael. What are we expecting them to do? Jump in the sea? So therefore it's not a Shiloh. And if it's not a Shiloh, then there's no Siyata Dishmaya. Now sadly, there are some people who are appearing very religious in their ways, and they shockle in their davening, and they daven with great kavona, and they are learning Torah b'chavrusa and the kavirs, but some of them might be mocking our Talmidei Chachomim, and they don't seem to recognize the significance of the fact that the Gemara is saying Ein lo chelek l'olam habo. And there are some people who are hiding their anonymity on social media who are mocking our Talmidei Chachomim, and they might not be appreciating the fact that they come within this category of Abikoros, Hamavazet, Tamid Chachomim, and although our Rabbonim might not have the same Koach Nevuah like the Chofetz Chaim did, like the Maharal did, like the Malbin did, like the Nesivos did, but every Posek must be given that respect because he is representing Kovod LaTorah. Thank you.